Thank you, Ron. It's a great psalm. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Forget not God. Wow. Tonight we're going to be considering some thoughts that have come to my mind in this week, the course of this week. You know, there are so many things that cause us to shrink in fear. And one of the illustrations of that just that came to us to me today was Judy was talking to one of her sisters, and her sister was watching that movie on human trafficking. I don't know if any of you saw that. It came out this summer, and it scared her to death as being a mother and a grandmother and a Christian. And her whole outlook seems to have at least temporarily changed after seeing that, not in a good way. The peace that once attended her her life isn't peaceful anymore, and it really upset her. And I have, you know, thought about things like that that maybe we shouldn't watch if we don't think we can. I didn't go see it. I heard about it, but I knew what it was about, and I knew the awfulness of that topic. And, you know, you don't have to see it firsthand to understand that it's there, especially if you know it's going to upset you and disrupt your peace. In the past, I've mentioned these giants that come into our lives, and one of the giants that come into our life is the giant of fear. And how many times do we see that? And we actually see that in many places in the Holy Scriptures. And we have to make sure that we are prepared in our soul to face all that that we is being put upon us by the news media and what we see everywhere we go. And we have to be careful that, you know, our eyes don't behold too much of that stuff, or it sets us in a bad way. Anyway, we're just humans, but we need to keep our armor on. We need to armor up, Ephesians 6. We need to look up, Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. We need to keep prayed up. We need to keep praying in everything. By prayer and supplication, let our request be made known, Philippians 4:6. And we need to do all that, as Jerry Butler often says, because we need to armor up, look up, pray up, because one day we're going up. And until we are on our way, or until we're going to heaven and in heaven, then, you know, these matters abound and can cause us to have our boat rocked. I was thinking of in Numbers chapter 13. Turn there with me, if you will. In Numbers chapter 13, this is one of the abounding illustrations of what happened. In Numbers chapter 13, you know what happens there. There were, the Lord spoke to Moses, and he wanted him to send out spies to search out the land of Canaan. And you remember that's a great story, isn't it? It's a great illustration for us to remember. And it says in Numbers 13:1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of the tribes of their fathers shall ye send a man. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, and every one that ruleth among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and all those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then they're listed there for you by tribes and all, but down in verse 17 it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountains, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and the cities that they dwell therein, whether in tents or in strongholds, and the land is whether it be fat or lean, or whether there be woods therein or not. And ye be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. And now the time was the time of the first fruit grapes. Verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they came under the brook of Eshol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two, that is two men, upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And when they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word to them under the congregation, they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. So they come back with this report about the land, and it sounds so good. It sounds good so far. But you see the next word in the next verse, nevertheless. However, but the people be strong in the land, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And so God bless Caleb. Caleb, in verse 30, stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We're told that that Caleb was kind of outnumbered at this point. Joshua is not mentioned here, but later on he is. Look what it says in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Here we have this report of these spies that came back, and the majority was speaking and saying, we can't do it. The people of the land were the same regardless of who was looking at them. I mean, Joshua and Caleb looked at these same people and saw them differently, didn't they? But the difference in the reports is due solely to whether the spies had their eyes on God or not. And this was the case with Joshua and Caleb. They saw the whole picture differently, didn't they? They said, let's go up and take it at once. God will be with us. God told us to go. We can do it. But the other 10 spies had forgotten God. They had forgotten his promises. They took their eyes off of God. And sadly, the people decided to follow the majority. By the way, the majority is often wrong. And so they decided to follow the majority, and they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 38 more years. Until all that were over the age of 20 at that time died. You remember the story. It's a great illustrative story. And when we keep our eyes on God, the giants are manageable. But if we don't keep our eyes on God, then you know what happens? We become like grasshoppers in our own sight. In other words, we become small and the giants become large, and those things kind of loom large. Those issues, those matters that cause us to fear, can, whether they be giants, whether they be situations, whether they be people relationships, whatever it may be, sometimes those things can loom larger in our hearts and minds than God himself. And that's what was happening. There's other illustrations of that, but this one is a good one. This is a very good one. It reminds us that how that fear had an effect on the majority of people, and how, you know, that word of negativity or lack of faith in the living God, you know, causes others to fear as well. There's another illustration that came to my mind as I was thinking about this, when in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus calm the storm. You remember it says Jesus was ministering to the multitudes, and the same day when it was even was come, he said to the others, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was with him also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder, whichever, part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea doth obey him?" Here they were fearful of the situation. But when it says that in verse 41, they feared exceedingly, this was a different kind of fear. This was a different type of fear. They saw what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he said, "Peace be still," and calm the waves. They saw that Jesus Christ was all powerful. They saw the hand of the Lord working. And they feared exceedingly, not now because of the wind and the waves, but because this great God had stilled and made everything peaceful for them once again. And they feared exceedingly, and I think that's a better kind of fear, don't you? They were fearing God. They were in awe about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. What manner of men is this that even the wind obeys him? And so, what a great another illustration. And then, of course, another favorite illustration is when Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. We read about that in Matthew chapter 14. And it says that Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain and to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And it was the fourth watch of the night, when Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And so here they are. They're once again, they're in the midst of the sea and the waves and everything. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, and they said, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, that we could hear those words from the Lord every time we have fear overwhelm us. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter said unto him, "Lord, if it be, thou bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said to Peter, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship and the wind ceased, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And so we have these illustrations. There's just three of them tonight, but I'm sure there are many others that we could glean from Scripture where fear or any of the giants that might come into our lives, you know, they can hinder us. They can debilitate us, and spiritually they can cause us to get off the right path. And so we know that from all of these illustrations, the only things that matter in the long run is that we trust God and know Jesus and obey him. And so armor up, look up, pray up, and soon we'll be going up. But until then, let us continue to trust the living God, who is bigger than any circumstances that we could ever come across in our lives. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these thoughts in this evening service tonight, that we can pillow our heads and rest in thee, the God who is omnipotent, the God who is omniscient. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all you are to us, and how we have experienced this as we grow. We experience it more and more, that you are a God that is nearby us all the time. You never fail us. And Lord, we thank and praise you that we need not fear, because our Lord Jesus Christ is near. And Lord, help us to keep all of our eyes on him. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.